Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about accessible voting. In preparation for Election Day, we went down to visit the Board of Elections, and you'll get to meet some people at the Board of Elections and learn somewhat about what it takes to make voting accessible. But first to our tip of the week, and this week's tip is make your voice heard. One philosophy we've been living by is the ask not, get not philosophy. If you don't ask for it, you're certainly not going to get it. If you do ask for it, you might.
So in this case, what you're asking for is, what ways can I vote if I have some kind of visual disability? What kind of options are open to me? And even in the past, when there weren't so many high-tech options that we'll talk about today, there were other options for people.
The Americans with Disability Act was instituted slightly over 20 years ago, but it wasn't until about 10 years ago that New York State got really serious about making accessible voting machines. And maybe your state doesn't have them. Maybe they do. If you can't vote by yourself independently in your area, contact your government and let them know that that might be something you would like to be able to do.
Right. In that case, the Board of Elections in your local community would be a good place to start. And, you know, if you're concerned about trying to vote on your own, contact them well in advance of when voting day is. You know, if you walk in cold on voting day and expect to have something accessible, it may not be there, or you may need some training to learn how to use some special equipment. But if you contact them in advance and give them some warning, sometimes they'll even offer to train you ahead of time, or at least you know the options ahead of time. So when it comes to the actual day when you cast your ballot, you'll be set.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet some of the people at the Monroe County Board of Elections in Rochester, New York. So we decided we would like to talk with somebody who knew about the new accessible system of voting, and we called up the Board of Elections and asked to talk to somebody who was knowledgeable, and the person on the phone said, okay, I'll put you in touch with the commissioner's secretary. And so she booked an appointment for us, and after making the appointment, she says, well, okay, you just made an appointment with the Democratic commissioner. Would you like one with the Republican commissioner as well? And that was the first we found out that there were two commissioners on the Board of Election. But when you think about it, it's nice to have people from both major parties involved in the decisions that are being made about how the election system works. Well, let's meet them.
I'm Peter Quinn, and I'm the Republican commissioner. And one of the reasons, many, that we have a bipartisan Board of Elections is it's called for by state law in New York State. And both Tom and I have worked with state officials in other states that it's not in place. And I can tell you, right from the two commissioners, right down to the part-timers that we may help loading trucks, everybody is bipartisan. And the reason is to give that counterbalance system. There's not a function that goes on, be it judging ballots, handling voter registration forms, programming voting machines, receiving tallies off voting machines, even to when all of us go out and vote at the polling site. The inspectors that are working are bipartisan, the actual people in the polling site that day. And the main reason is for that check and balance system. So there's not one party in control of the election process, and that everything does have an offsetting party, according to the law, as it should.
Yeah, my name is Tom Ferrese, and I'm the Democratic commissioner. And to add to what Peter said, and it really is intriguing, I think, to a lot of our fellow election officials outside of New York State, because both Peter and I do visit them an awful lot. And New York State is probably one of only about five or six states in the whole country where the election process, all the way from the state level, at the very top of the state level, all the way down to the polling place, is bipartisan. In more than 43, 44, 45 other states, the process at some level is a partisan process where one party or the other, or another, runs the election process solely without any check or balance from outside. And we happen to believe that this is a very good system in the sense that it assures the voters that if we're going to do anything, they know that both parties are going to be looking at it and both parties are going to have to agree. And that's it. We do have to agree in order to affect the voters in any way.
And apparently it's not by law always a Democrat and a Republican. The two parties that get the positions are whichever two parties got the most votes in the most recent election for governor.
So we talked a little bit with the two commissioners about how long they've been involved in working with making voting machines accessible for people with various disabilities. And it's been a long time for both of them.
Peter and I took a very active role during the years after the passage of Help America Vote Act and up to the implementation of new equipment. As a matter of fact, Peter served on a state committee that actually tested and looked at all of the machines at the state level. So, and he worked with other counties on that. And I chaired actually the executive committee of the Election Commissioners Association for the state for the 2 years preceding the implementation of this. So both him and I we were actually at very active roles and very involved at the state level in this process. So that's why another reason why vendors came to us and worked with us.
Well, I think all of us at the board are trying to do it for the right reason, and yet my predecessor had a disability, and so we always had a close-knit relationship with some of the organizations here in Monroe County and dealt with people with disabilities of all different kinds. And so one of our goals was to make sure that, yes, although there probably is not a piece of equipment that can handle every type of disability, with the technology nowadays, we knew there was equipment that we could make great advances to making sure that everyone had the ability to vote privately and independently. I think everybody realizes that it's an opportunity, it's a right for every citizen to be able to vote. And our goal here as commissioners was to make sure the equipment we had would do as much as it could.
As much as, I mean, Peter pointed out, having had somebody in the environment that experienced the need is very helpful because it really puts it on. And although I think we do definitely do this because we really believe in it. But I must admit, grew up with a grandfather who was blind, and so I dealt with as a child and on into my teen years with the issues that he was confronted with out there. And it was a different environment at that time. Certainly he wasn't afforded the same opportunities. But yeah, I must confess, it definitely left me with a perspective of understanding that those needs exist.
So it's great to see that people have been thinking about these things for a long time, even before technology advances have enabled more sophisticated ways of making people with various disabilities or enabling them to be able to vote on their own.
And it was really heartwarming to know how sincere both of these men were about trying to make voting accessible. I mean, they each had their own personal interactions with people with various disabilities, but you could tell from everything they said that it was really important to them to make sure that every citizen had the ability to execute their right to vote by themselves.
You are listening to Viewpoint.
Turning now to our focus topic, we'll be talking about what it takes to make voting accessible. Now, Pete and I, as you've heard over and over, have been married for 28 years. And for the last 28 years, I've been going into the voting booth with Pete as his assistant to help him vote.
Just to be fair, though, to let people know, every time we did go to vote in the past, always one of the people at the voting place offered to come in with me as a kind of neutral observer. So I didn't necessarily have to go in with Nancy. It just happened to be my choice. But there were other options offered to me.
And presumably, if you're uneasy about that, you can ask for two observers. And at every polling place, at least in New York State, there's at least one person from each major party, and I'm sure if you ask for it, they would both be willing to go in with you.
So there are many options, and as we said in the tip of the week, ask not, gets not. Just, you know, decide what you want and how you want to do it and see if it's possible.
Developing the new voting machines has been an ongoing interaction among the manufacturer, the boards of elections, and the community, especially including advocates for the disabled. And they've been very responsive to the feedback they've been getting from all of these communities.
The vendor, Dominion Voting, is always looking at the software that runs particularly the side of the machine that creates the ballot. So in March or April, they did this study where they brought in people from the various groups here in Rochester, and they were able to assess the software that's currently running on the machine and made some suggestions. They did some modifications to the software, then came back out again about a month later and tried those out, and then ultimately submitted software for upgrades with the state. They have to be certified by the state before we can use it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the middle of that certification process right now. So it's not something we'll have for this year's election, but at least we know it's coming for the presidential year, which I think will be a big help.
And I think the good news is it's continuing to evolve. It's improving, and I think as, you know, we've been around this for quite a while now with doing focus groups, working with the Center for Disability Rights. We're somewhat fortunate to the fact that they used us as a stomping ground a little bit to try to get more information. We go back to when they were actually testing the equipment to where they were out at Marketplace Mall. They were at the Center for Disability Rights. They were at several locations that were open to the public back when the machine was even starting to be developed. So they kind of looked at Monroe County and thought, you know, this is a good area to try to get feedback as they develop this machine. So we've always kind of been involved in it. We always try to stay helpful to the vendor as far as making changes and being able to do any software updates that will assist the voters with it.
You know, maybe you want to help out with giving feedback to these people, too. So you should look for opportunities when these things are being demoed in public places. Or if you're more interested in getting involved, call up your local Board of Elections. See what they're doing in terms of assessing new voting machines. And maybe you can get involved at a very early stage and help them kind of beta test these things, work out some of the kinks, and give them a little feedback.
Now that Election Day is coming up really soon, if you go in and actually use the accessible system and you have some comments about what might have made it easier for you, you can call the Monroe County Board of Elections at area code 585-753-1550. And I'm sure they'd love to hear what you think of the system.
Whether it's positive or negative feedback, even positive feedback is good to let people know what works and what is comfortable for people.
New York State has used machines with a lever for each candidate for over 100 years. These, at this point, are kind of old school, but they worked. And now, in developing the new system, they want to make sure that it works, too.
I tried to look at it from my experience and Tom from his, of the lever machine. Can we make choices? Can you do write-ins? Anything like that. And this equipment, we kind of went back to the vendors, all the vendors, when they were looking to change over and said, you know, this piece of equipment we've had for 100 years did not do everything, but we want to make sure we don't go backward. We want to make sure we have the threshold of the old, and then let's get the benefits of what new technology can give us. But it's at least our experience, every time you go to a big change like that, you have to be very careful not to lose something you had.
Yeah.
You gain two steps here, but if you took two steps back
backwards
on something else, like you couldn't review or you couldn't change your mind like you could on the lever, then did you really make progress?
Right.
You know, did you lose the ability to do a write-in vote? You know, things like that. Did you lose any number of things? It can be different, but you don't want to lose what you had.
So it's nice to see that they're approaching the change process in a very organized and systematic way, and to make sure that we don't lose any of that old functionality that we used to have.
So Peter and Tom recounted for us some of the history of accessible voting machines. How did we get here from where we started?
Shortly after I was here, I can remember vendors then looking at punch card systems, looking at different types of electronics that were out there. We've actually investigated and we've done live elections, and I'm going to have to go back and check, but it was in the mid-80s that we actually used, in the town of Greece, we used electronic voting machines as a pilot project.
Oh, wow.
I think we've used three or four different types, from touch screens to even back in the 80s, a punch card system. We've used AppScan, the Eagle.
Yep.
I mean, quite honestly, we had a piece of equipment that worked fairly well for most people, but not everybody. And yet it was a solid piece of equipment. But we knew it had been in place for over 90 years that it was going to evolve to something else. And as technology was moving forward, our predecessors here at the board, and again, I was a clerk just out on the road checking machines, but the commissioners at the time were always looking as to what's coming up on the forefront, what was next. And we were always one of the pilot programs for the state of looking at new equipment. After HAVA was passed in 2002, the Help America Vote Act.
Oh, okay.
And that's the federal piece of legislation that had really come out of the problems from the Florida 2000 election. When that happened, the federal government stepped in and said, for the first time, one of the first times ever,
yeah,
and actually said, you know what, elections are still going to be run by the states. It's a state function. And under the states, of course, the counties will do the operations end of it. But for one of the first times, the federal government said, we're going to step in and level the playing field and make sure that we have rules and regulations and procedures that, although states will run it, the equipment must hit some threshold. And so it was really after 2002 that vendors and companies came on board, knowing that throughout the country, everyone was going to be moving to new equipment. And so we saw an awful lot of equipment that was starting to come through. It started way back in the 80s here in Monroe County, looking at equipment. But from 2002, after the HAVA legislation was in place, is when we really started to see activity statewide.
Boy, and that apparently made a big change in the rules for how these elections were run and how the voting machines were to be used, right?
Oh, yeah, you probably heard something loud landing on the desk. That was when Tom went over to his shelf and hauled out the old rules book, which was under 150 pages in 2000, and the new rules book that looked like a small telephone book. It's over 850 pages long.
Well, I'm glad I didn't have to read that. I pity
Absolutely.
The person who has to understand it all and keep it all in their head.
And the other noise you've been hearing is Tom has this little fountain in the back of his office, and it's really very soothing. And we apologize, we neglected to ask him to turn it off while we recorded the interview. For the rest of the program, we'll be going into a large, large workspace where there were dozens of people actually working, and you'll be hearing some of that. Now for this week's high-tech item, we'll describe and demonstrate New York's new way of providing access to the voting process. Everybody gets a paper ballot and a pen or a pencil, and the completed ballots get scanned and then counted. For those who can't read and or mark their own ballots, there are other options. And effective this year, 2011, New York has the audio tactile interface, which is the one we'll be showing on this show.
And they'll sometimes refer to that as ATI.
They have a sip and puff system if you don't have any use of your hands or feet. And then they also have another system with two paddles, each of which is the size of a deck of cards, one red, one blue, and you can work those with either your hands or your feet. So upon request, anybody can try out the demonstration voting machine, and somebody will be there to help you do it. Well, we were lucky. We got two somebodies.
A Democrat and a Republican.
I'm Abby Freeman, and I'm with the Democratic Party and the training team here at the Board of Elections.
Yep, John Fernandez, and I'm on the Republican side. And we are a bipartisan team is of trainers. We train the poll workers, the election inspectors, preparing them for the elections.
And they trained us. They showed us the machine, which is comprised of three parts.
This machine, this is called our IC2, and this is an image cast voting machine. It has two components to it. It has a scanner, which is used by every voter. That's where your marked ballot is going to go into and be be tabulated. Now, on this side of the machine is our printer unit. It's called a ballot marking device. It's designed for voters who cannot physically mark their own ballot without human assistance. So what the inspector would do is they would put a blank ballot into this printer, and then we would set up a session on the BMD so the voter would be able to mark their ballot independently by listening to the ballot being read to them and using what's called an ATI, stands for audio tactile interface, and this will allow the voter to navigate through the ballot. And there is Braille on the ATI. We have two site chair people at every polling site. One of their responsibilities is to process BMD voters through, so they are familiar with the machine and they would help such voters.
So every inspector is trained on how to assist a voter, get them set up at the machine, and actually start the session for the voter. The one thing I will give you the best advice on handling, getting through navigating your ballot, number one, the instructions are the longest part of this process.
Okay.
And when you go to change frame with your ATI unit, only click the button once.
Okay.
Because it takes a few minutes not only for the monitor to change, which obviously you wouldn't use, but it takes time for the audio piece to finish playing.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's done playing and you hear silence, then you can hit the button to go to the next page.
Okay.
If you click the button too many times quickly, it could slow it down.
Then they handed me the ATI controller and I was in the driver's seat.
So there's a box here about a little bit bigger than an index card, and there's Braille and a bunch of buttons on it. There's a volume button labeled in Braille with two little buttons up and down.
Those are white squares.
And then there's a rate button with two buttons next to it for up and down.
The rate buttons are orange circles.
And then there's a, as I go down the thing on the left here, there's a races button, so you can move from race to race.
Those are bright yellow triangles.
There's a select button.
That's a bright red X.
There's a up and down button, which I suppose is for selecting something else.
Those are bright blue triangles, but they're pointed the other direction from the races triangles.
And then in the middle bottom, there's a help button.
Now that help button is a green bar that goes the whole width of the box.
You can't miss that.
No.
Using the device, I found it a little bit frustrating because I'm used to using my computer with its very fast screen reader and very snappy response. If I hit a button, it reacts immediately to my button presses. These devices seem to be a little bit sluggish, and as Abby said, the instructions took a long time to listen to, and you couldn't readily skip out of those. But it was possible to go through the entire ballot one by one and find out how you had voted, go back and change your votes if you wanted to, and review things and stuff. I would say my run frustration was that it was a little bit slow, and it could have been a little quicker. But, you know, again, if you practice with these things, I think that would make it a lot easier. So maybe it's worthwhile going down to the election board ahead of time, trying out one of the machines before you actually vote.
So once Pete was done trying it out, Abby explained how to finalize and cast your vote.
Okay, so it's going to say to you at the very end, when you tell it you're done, it's going to say to you, you've either fully voted your ballot to its fullest potential, or you have races you have not marked.
Okay.
It's going to ask you if you want to go back to the ballot and finish the races that you didn't vote in, or if you do not want to go back. Maybe some voters don't always vote for every single office up for election. So you will tell the machine whether you want to go back or whether you're satisfied. And if you're satisfied, you would press the red X, and it would tell you your ballot is now being printed.
Right, right.
If you go back, it will bring you right back to the races that you did not vote in and give you the opportunity to then fill those races in.
Okay.
And then when you're done with the unfinished races and your ballot is fully completed, it will tell you you've come to the end of your ballot. Would you like to review it or print it?
So as Abby described, even if it was your first time doing this and you were a little uncertain about what you did, it really is very good about verifying, are you sure you're done? Are you sure you voted for everything? Do you want to go back and review it? And it really gives you a good chance to go back and do that thing before your vote is finally cast.
And after we were done, she offered some words of encouragement.
The other thing is, you see that he's getting better with it every time he uses it because he's learning how it's working for him. And that, I think, is something to remind people is maybe the very first time you use it, it might be difficult, it might be cumbersome and lengthy, but the more you use it, the more you vote with it, the easier it becomes for you. So I guess for me, my suggestion to voters would be don't give up.
Now, of course, you're only allowed to vote once on a given day, but next year when you come back for the next election, it should be easier.
Well, I've been voting now for nearly 40 years, and I must say it was kind of cool to be able to take the thing in my own hands and do it all by myself without any assistance or, you know, with minimal assistance getting started. And I guess I'm not the only one in that boat because they hear other stories like this all the time.
Maureen Daphne with Commissioner Ferraci's office. In 2008, when we had first introduced the new machines, I had received a call from a voter who had never, ever in her life ever voted independently. She was blind and wanted to come in advance to try out the new machines, was a little bit nervous about the technology. And I had asked her afterwards if she would do a follow-up with me and just let me know personally how her experience was at the polling site. And she did call the day after the election and was in tears, stating that for the first time in 62 years, she couldn't put into words the amount of joy she felt in being able to have that level of independence to vote independently and without assistance for the first time in her life. And those are the stories that to us as workers here at the Board of Elections are the ones that we never forget and motivate us to continue to do the best possible job we can to ensure that that level of independence and that same level of joy is experienced by all voters.
So it's really nice to see that we have this new level of independence and accessibility to voting machines, and go out and give it a shot. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's an interesting experience, and, you know, I hope it works well for you.
That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about smartphones. As smartphones get more popular, you may wonder whether any are usable by the visually impaired. It turns out that both iPhones and Android phones are accessible. We'll describe how the visually impaired can use either type of smartphone and discuss some really cool applications that have been developed for both. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.